Tonight I just want to share a little story to get going here. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, my mom had a particular habit. Probably at that point in time, I found it relatively annoying. But she had a habit about saying something about my posture, especially when I was standing. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I know they kind of focus on this in the military, shoulders back, chest out, chin up, or whatever. But my mom was always, I don't know about on me, but she was always saying something to myself or my brother and possibly even my dad about our posture. Because for some reason, it was a very important thing to her. And your posture is how you kind of carry yourself. How you sit, how you stand, and speaking of sitting, there are also certain mechanics and posture to sitting. I mean, people go to finishing schools and all these places of etiquette and whatever. And I'm sure they're taught the proper way to sit, the proper way for women to cross their legs, and for everything to be done in a gracious way. But you know what? We do a lot of sitting. You probably don't, quote unquote, sit around thinking about it, but we do a lot of sitting. I don't know what portion of a person's life is spent sitting, but I would go to propose that it's quite a bit. Studies have shown that we spend a third of our lives sleeping, but how about sitting? And in reflecting upon this, you ever thought about a baby, maybe your grandchildren or the kids that you currently have? They kind of go through this process of laying on their back initially, then they kind of turn over on their stomach, then they kind of get into this thing about turning over, and it's very cute. Then they get up on one knee, then they're crawling, then they're kneeling, and then they finally are sitting. And then after that, finally, they're walking. But they didn't walk first. I mean, that wasn't the progress of how that ended up going. They did go from a sitting position to a standing position to a walking position. And so what I've done tonight is entitled my sharing, "How's Your Posture?" But really, it's a teaching about recognizing that we also have to sit before we can stand. And I know the theme of our year is about standing together on God's Word. And we've had a lot of sharings already this year about the one body of Christ, eight members in particular. Bob did a great sharing last night about the great mystery. We've spent some time already, and this is still January. But I'd like to take another look at this concept of sitting. And to do that, I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 17, be reading through verse 21, where it says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." And then if you'll go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, you'll see kind of a twofold thing that we become partakers of. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory." Ephesians 2, 6 through 9. God raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his own right hand, and he raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And tonight, for a moment here, I'd like to share some information from a beautiful little book called Sit, Walk, Stand. It's subtitled The Process of Christian Maturity, and it's written by a gentleman, Watchman Nee. and maybe you're familiar with this and her sections of it, but I just thought this was so timely to hear. God made him to sit and made us to sit with him. Well, let's consider the implications of the word sit. You know, it reveals the secret of a heavenly life. Christianity does not begin with walking. It begins with sitting. The Christian era began with Christ, of whom we are told that when he had made purification of sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. You know, with equal truth, we could say that the individual Christian life begins with a man in Christ. That is to say, when by faith we see ourselves seated together with him in the heavens. Most Christians make the mistake of trying to walk in order to be able to sit, but that is a reversal of the true order. Our natural reason says, if we do not walk, how can we ever reach the goal? What can we attain without effort? How can we ever get anywhere if we do not move? He goes on to say, but Christianity is a queer business. If at the outset we try to do anything, we get nothing. If we seek to attain something, we miss everything. For Christianity begins not with a big do, but with a big done. And so Ephesians opens with the statement that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And we are invited at the very outset to sit down and enjoy what God has for us, not to try to set out and to try and attain it for ourselves. You know, walking implies effort, whereas God says that we are saved not by works, but by grace through faith. We constantly speak of being saved through faith, but what do we really mean by that? We mean this: that we are saved by reposing in the Lord Jesus. We did nothing whatever to save ourselves. We simply laid upon him the burden of our sin-sick souls. We began our Christian life by depending not upon our own doing, but upon what he had done. Until a man does this, he is no Christian. And to remind you again, I'm reading from a book by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand, The Process of Christian Maturity. For to say, I can do nothing to save myself, but by his grace, God has done everything for me in Christ, is to take the first step in the life of faith. The Christian life, from start to finish, is based upon this principle of utter dependence, he says, upon the Lord Jesus, and I'll add, and upon God, to whom we've had this introduction. There is no limit to the grace God is willing to bestow upon us. He will give everything, but we can receive none of it except as we rest in him. Great point. You see, sitting is an attitude of rest. Something has been finished. Work stops. Guess what? We sit. It's paradoxical, but it's true. The only way to advance in the Christian world and life is that we learn, first of all, to sit down. I remember the first time I heard this, it's been many years ago, and I did hear it at a weekend in Tucson with Reverend Petty teaching, that we all have to operate from a place of rest. Because otherwise, you know, we get like the proverbial cart in front of the horse. We're outrunning our own spirituality. We have to learn to come from a place of rest, to be grounded, to be at that place. So what does it really mean to sit down? Well, when we walk or stand, we bear on our legs all the weight of our own body. But when we sit down, our entire weight rests upon the chair or couch on which we sit. Many times we grow weary when we walk or stand, but we feel rested when we have sat down for a while. I mean, how many times have you been around or said it yourself? I just need to sit down for a moment. and what rest that does bring to your physical body. You know, walking or standing, we expend a great deal of energy. But when we are seated, we relax at once because the strain no longer falls upon our muscles and our nerves, but upon something outside of it ourselves. So, great point. Also in the spiritual realm, to sit down is simply to rest our whole weight, our load, ourselves, our future, our everything upon the Lord. We let Him bear the responsibility and we cease to carry it ourselves. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul prays that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened and to understand all that is contained for us in this double fact, that God has first, by His mighty power, made Him to sit, and then by His grace made us to sit with Him. This is the first lesson we learn, must learn, that the work is not initially ours at all, but it's His. It is not that we work for God, but that He works for us and has worked on our behalf. God gives us and has given us our position of rest. He brings His Son's finished work and He presents it on a silver platter to us. And then He says, please sit. His offer to us cannot, I think, be better expressed than in the words of the invitation to the great banquet quoted in Luke chapter 14, verse 17. Come, for all things are now ready. Our Christian life begins with the discovery of what God has provided. So, sit down and enjoy it. Father, You're so good to us. You laid out this table, this feast before us, Father, and we don't have to scramble around because we think all the foods and goodies are going to be gone and we got to be in first in line. Father, You've made such abundant provision for us that there will be plenty for everyone. And I thank You that we learn to rest and to sit and to have a greater appreciation of the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in whatever way You communicate that to us, Father, but that we learn the lesson of really sitting and resting and that we operate from that place. And so we thank You tonight, Father, for each and every one of God's people who have chosen to take the time in their life to learn a little bit more about You, to fellowship with their brothers and sisters, that we may grow exponentially, Father, and stand faithfully together until that other historical day when You send Your Son to gather the church. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.